include all the details. But in general, the early labor history in this area appears to be lost. Digging on it from time to time, and get little pieces of it. But really was the beginning of the breaking up of the Longshore Union. And it was around 31 before they really developed any organization. And then 34, when they had the general strike. This was 34, out of which came the ILWU, and very good relations with the seafaring unions, with sailors, marine engineers, and so on. And then we put together a pretty good coalition trade union that, in general, give us the conditions that we've got today.
Can I get back a little before the strike?
Yeah.
Set the stage?
Yeah.
Could you tell me, just sort of where and when you were born and how you came to Seattle?
Well, I was born in Colorado, February 9th, 1894. I came out here in the Army. I was educated for a chemist, and and there was another soldier from Nebraska who was also a chemist, and held the two of us for a chemical warfare division that was never formed.
So you had been, say, educated as a chemist before you went into the Army?
Oh, yes. We did some of the original work. I was with Seattle. Way back there.
So how far have you gotten in your training as a chemist before you went into the Army?
Oh, it was my last year.
And so you came to Seattle in the Army, and then you just stayed on after the war?
Born in the Rocky Mountains, I got up in. I didn't realize there's not much water in the world. after the strike, there was a general lack of work opportunity, and I did a lot of other things. Then, in that area, I went to sea, and 3 or 4 years, I logged a home that being 50 to 100,000 miles a year. Look at the world before the came back. I worked in golf clubs and worked up. I was high steward in the golf club. Then the depression in 28 wiped that out. We started a big organizing drive around 36, and I came back and been there ever since.
What did your folks do when you were growing up?
My father was the bartender. He opened up the Brown Palace Hotel in Denver. I was back there a few years ago.
Still there, huh?
Still there. And I had lunch there. Yeah. Yeah. Very first, I kind of inherited living in a family like that. I kind of inherited some of the bizarre fall too. When you took a black man my age, you got to have a lot of talent to survive. I was a chef at one time, and bartender, and all these things. You just had to have to survive.
When you were growing up, was politics discussed at home?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Of course, in those days, the political system was entirely different. My folks were Rock Rib Republicans. My mother died when I was quite young, and had not raised that education. My aunt was a precinct committee in the Republicans and so on.
Did they, when they talk about politics, is it usually from a Republican Democrat point of view, or black, white, or labor, capital?
No, the class of America, and the race issues weren't so strong until the beginning of World War I. Then you could see a sharpening of. Of course, I couldn't see the class issue, but I could see the race issue at that time.
So when the strike started, you wouldn't say you already had a class consciousness?
No,
I didn't. No. And you were telling me a little before about the Union record. When you came to Seattle, is that what you started reading right away?
That's right.
Why is it that you started reading that instead of the Star or the Times?
Because every plant gate here was a guy selling you the Union record.
Okay, so when the strike started, do you remember why it was called and who called it?
It started with the ship where I was down. And then there was a wave of discontent at that time. I tried to explain. This was the beginning of a depression, and the workers were being laid off. Work opportunities were diminishing, and the workers were feeling the crunch of it. So they were striking back.
When people were talking about it before it actually happened, but when it was being planned, do you remember what you expected from it? Did you think it was going to be? Did you think it was any sort of revolutionary intent?
Heck no. Of course, there's a lot of things that now that I see that went into it, and that sharpened the class struggle. This was the Russian Revolution, and one of the long-term president refused to vote the party to do the troops to fight the Soviets. These things, this was not the beginning of a class understanding. Not too clearly. It takes years before you can clearly see the class relationship.
But maybe I won't brush it through. Did you feel it started you thinking in a different way than you've been thinking before?
I don't think I thought about that, but it was the workers who are oppressed and they're going to strike back in some form.
Mm-hmm.
I have no concept, but except there's going to be struggle.
So did you support the strike? Yeah, you strike at the time. Did most of the people that you were working with, what were you doing at that time?
Jury. I was a long jury. I don't know. There was, one of the things that when there's a strike deadline, they rush to get everything done that can be done before the deadline. I was caught in that. So, I don't know much more. Analysis after when you look at things in retrospect.
What was it like at the time being in the city where everything was stopped?
Well, I really didn't do much traveling in the city. After walking from my home over to Roger Brown's, picking up my money. 3 days, I made over $37. And see how that was there. Nobody, that was the super sense of life. But back home and stayed there, going a lot when I had to. About a block away, so spent my time there.
Did you eat in any of the dining halls, the strikers' dining halls?
No.
Do you remember any violence during the strike?
Well, I told you that except the attacks on the picket line, on the pickets, I don't think there was.
Do you remember when the Army or National Guard came in?
1990? No.
Who do you remember of the leaders? Who do you remember the three leaders? Was it union people or IWW?
Well, I don't know. Let's say that there was considerably IWW ideology. I think it was all that was had some basis in all the unions. But as far as I can see, it was by the union guys at level.
Uh-huh. Do you remember why it ended?
Well, I suppose the threat coercion from the establishment was the principal reason.
Who do you include in the establishment?
Well, the mayor. Police, even before the Army, all of that, that's part of the establishment.
Was the general strike worth it for labor?
Yes, of course it was. An experience for him. I think that the experiences there were very valuable to the 34 general strike, which was done in the
assessment. Did most people that you knew think it was a successful strike? How did they feel about it afterwards?
Which strike?
The 1919 strike.
Well, I don't know what I can answer that. did, except that it was an experience, and that experience, which I think was very, very useful. Later years, well, we've got some of the same problems today, and this is that the unions have got to develop the kind of unity that will repel capacity employers.
And so that was what you felt was the significant part of that strike, that unity?
Well, we had it to start with the little bit lost. I mean, this was the experience. How do you keep this unity together? We had real unity to start. But take some of the perks right now. I experience the same thing. That ideas about the other. And when they look at the price they got to pay for it, then they start backing off. That causes some division in the ranks.
Did you feel that the strike significantly affected you as a person or the life of the city?
Well, I don't know about the life of the city. It did me.
Could you say something on how you feel it affected you?
Well, yes. You see, the beginning of serious class consciousness, the building of serious class consciousness. Studying the nature of society. How to change it.
I'd like to ask you about a couple things after the strike. This is a large question, but what do you think have been the most important national or worldwide events since those days?
National, world. Concept of history, back to go back in the part of slavery. Society is divided into two classes, the exploiting class and the other, and the workers. And it's having slavery, serfdom, capitalism, socialism, communism. There's a continuity, I think. The government, whatever you want to call it, is the oppressive arm of the ruling class, every one of them. Well, you say we got a democratic system, as long as we don't do anything, it takes money out of the stockholders' pockets, which is fine. But when you start taking money out of the stockholders' pocket, you run into problems. And I think that in one form or another will put in every society. Saturday, you know. But you'll know until you drop a flag of society, and that's going way, way in the future. So, and when you do it, and I think all the progress made is interrelated. Struggles from here with loss, where we're finally redeveloping and so on. And every time we get a little, little higher level, and of course, the other thing is that when we're talking of historical processes, they just don't happen overnight. Some of them take years and years to develop. You understand the nature and the dialect, you can clearly see where they're going. Time, cost, lives, suffering, and so on.
So, would you say that there have been no, that since it's a, since there's this continuity, that there's no event that's more important than other events, or has there been certain highlights?
There's always that. There's always that. There's always a stage where you make a qualitative leap. World War II was tremendous importance. World War II. Korean War II later on. And look how many people are condemning it now. It's some time ago, no. He was unpatriotic. So these, and then it's hard to say this is the decisive element, or that is the way you have decisive battles in the world history. I don't think it might work that way. But they all have played a well, of course, the big with Russian Revolution, where they took a sixth of the world out of the capital order. That's the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the civil rights movement?
Oh, I was in it. I was in it. Mm-hmm. And then, that also played a tremendous role. getting real well there. Of course, this started, we like to be very symbolized. They'd like to buy a cup of coffee, and they'd like to. All right, fine, I'm for that. Where do you get the price to buy the coffee? That's the other side of the coin. Where do you get the money to buy the coffee? This is the economic side of it. And the civil rights didn't deal effectively with that. This is my opinion. If you're going to fight for another crust of bread, a little more for the workers, you're encroaching on the stockholders. Always on the side of the workers.
What do you think of the labor movement today?
Well,
you know,
let's say that the labor movement is divided. Has been since the McCarthy period. They've got laws on the side of the unions, anti-communism and racism pays huge dividends. And this has affected the labor movement. The top leadership screw up. And the only thing that's going to save it is action of the rank and file. This is the thing that we're working on. Now, look at the Simmons. Look at him. Corruption is evident there. Now I'm about to find good cop too. Menial boy. So they've got to take the leadership away from those guys. And it's a big problem. In no sense of the word is hopeless. In no sense.
And how is folks about the women's movement?
Well, now you say the women's movement, you haven't got a United movement there.
Yeah.
Now, I've had to develop my own. Say world of man's equal. I disagree with that. Saying this way. There's a difference in saying things are equal and things are complementary. Man and women are complementary. And the same thing, I don't think that a man should have any economic, political, or social rights that a woman should have. That's my concept. You've got many friends in the movement. Some are good, some bad, and but they're not in the best interest of any movement, I see. So, that, look for equal rights amendment, what that does. Equality, it allows women a lot of rights they enjoy, rests and so on, that they've had this will wipe it out. So there again.
What sort of organizations do you belong to that you like?
Well, the first one I was in the Diary Group.
Remember when that was? That you were in?
Wait a minute. Let's go back. And what was the president of the, this is youth, isn't it? The youth, UBF. I thought it was that organization. My brother, thank you. And they had this, they had this invitation. Then they, in the Diary Movement, California, and the city went broke.
Do you remember anything about him during the strike? Some people say they did.
Well, maybe so.
Were you a Wobbly at the time? Were your friends Wobbly?
I suppose some of that reality did rub off on me, that they were different. The Wobblies made a real contribution to the labor movement and so on. They have a very good racial policy, I know. And look at the job they did in the woods. They're big weaknesses. They issued political action.
So you said, I think once or twice about their ideology. Was this sort of rubbing off of their ideology? Did that affect a lot of people who weren't actually card-carrying members, didn't have a red card, but just sort of heard the ideas? Were they listened to, we'll say, on the dot?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I did. Reached these cards. What's going on there? There it was.
The average worker maybe stop there every once in a while and listen to the Wobblies without, were they, listen to, or were they thought of as quacks or as
when you say, I say there's a large share of them, did it, did a large share of them now. Going back that far and dealing with good numbers, not only that, they were in the unions, they were in union meetings, and
let me ask you about a couple of things that you said. You said the strike was the beginning of the breakup of the longshore union. Did you say that? In what way was that?
Organization of longshoremen. Look, there's the largest person over there, put on the wall over there. 1886. Boss who controlled the work of our union.
Was that weakness as a result of the strike, or did it just happen around the same time? I guess
Yeah, we just described the employer can hold a job. They still do. So then they can hire the students. It was through the hiring, through school business and this kind of thing, that they get the union in all.
If the strike hadn't happened, would the Lone Tree Union have been broken up anyhow?
Undoubtedly, in my opinion.
You were, one of the things was that you said that most of the other men who hang around here, that the strike seems to be a blank spot in their memory. Why? Do you have any ideas why that is?
Well, I mean, I talked to them about the middle license response.
Do they remember it at all? Do you think a general strike could happen today?
Establishment. I don't think, and I don't think the situation is right for it. Maybe maturing, but it isn't right for it.
What would it take for a general strike to happen?
Well, those things have got to mature. Now, what does that? I can't tell you just what goes into them, but number one, I think the workers have got cheap, they have no other alternative for the strike. But some experience that was in the Canadian Labor Union. But American Labor Union this time is too much divided.
If someone said to you, I heard you were around during the 1919 general strike, what was it like? What's the mental picture that you have of it? What's the first thing you think of when you think of that strike?
Part of the development of the class consciousness would be working class.
Well, those are all my questions. Is there anything else?